This is Cheryl Deco, president of Bezalel Books and author of the fiction book Elizabeth, A Holy Land Pilgrimage, here to remind you to take your vitamins today. That's your Catholic vitamins, A through Z, with Deacon Tom and his lovely wife, Dee.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
Hello, Dee, and hello, listeners to Catholic Vitamins.
Maybe I should be saying hi, Deacon Tom.
Well, I mean,
I don't go around the house calling you Deacon. But
you call me Deek sometimes.
Hey, our vitamin this time is H for hearing.
Yes. We had a lot of participation, didn't we?
We did. This is episode 95, and this is going to feature several interviews you had at Franciscan University this summer.
I'll talk about that in a few moments.
Yeah. So we had some people who were trying to guess, and one of them came in from Greg Gorman in Kentucky. He says, vitamin H, I'm guessing hearing. My first three guesses were heeding, healing, and hearing. But you already use healing, so I'm going with hearing. Dang, just thought of another. Hosting. I'll stick with hearing for now. Blessings, Greg.
Greg, you got our show figured out, and you got it. So you're only allowed, by the way, one guess. These people that do 14 guesses, it just doesn't work that way.
Oh, no, but it's fun.
It is fun. Yes.
And then Ebeth wrote in and said, here's my guesses. Helping, which could have a fun theme to it. Or it could be healing.
Boing.
With a fun and happy tone of celebration. Or hailing, as in a cab?
No, come on.
Could be fun if we were talking about traveling to cool places. Or more seriously, for Hail Mary.
Ah.
Anyway, again, thank you for sharing yourselves with us. A wonderful podcast to listen to. Blessings, Ebeth.
We're always glad to hear from you, Ebeth.
But I've saved the best one to last.
Okay.
This was from our winner, the one who has won the most prizes on Catholic Vitamins to date, Cindy Ellis. This week's Vitascrabble is very difficult because there are so many appropriate words that are seven letters beginning with H and ending with G. As I was listening to the harking,
she has that bolded,
of Here is the Harvest of Love playing at the end of your last podcast, and humming the tune even after it was over.
Two H words with G ending.
I began hunting.
Oh, another one.
For the proper H word that would go with a good and interesting Catholic vitamin. The computer geek in me spied hacking.
No, we're not going to hack.
And held on to it until healing, hearing, hugging, and helping came along in my head. But healing was already used in 2010, so thinking Catholic social teaching, long story, my permanent, for sure, final guess is helping.
Boing.
I'll be hooting and hoofing, as in dancing, if I win this one because it was such a difficult word to guess. God bless you both and all you do. I so enjoy listening to your podcast. Summers, I get a bit behind, but I'm caught up for now.
Well, Cindy Ellis, you get the prize, the booby prize for originality. That is just great. Our Catholic vitamin for today is hearing, and I'm so excited to bring you some guests that I did many interviews with while I was on the Franciscan University campus. I think you're really going to enjoy them. I've been excited to bring this to you, and we'll move into those in a few moments, as we normally do with a main guest. Our vitamin is hearing, and on our blog page, we'll have a longer intro to this topic. A guest, God willing, who is upcoming on our a show very soon in the future is Mary Beth Kremski. She's been on the Coming Home program on EWTN and elsewhere. And when I was doing a little research on the topic of hearing, the first person that I came upon who did an article was Mary Beth Kremski, and she did it in This Rock magazine. And I found a reprint of it over on Catholic Answers. And I'll just ask you a little bit of a question that she raises. Jesus often said, "He who has ears ought to hear." We know he wasn't speaking of our physical ears. And Mary Beth says, our ears have to be connected to our heart. So I ask you today, where is your heart? Is it open to a deeper and more intense relationship with the Lord God? And what are you doing to help garden or tend that garden of opportunity that awaits each of us? So that's what our show is about. We have some interesting aspects to the topic of hearing. And gosh, we've got a popular musician, Bob Rice, but he's also a singer and speaker. He's got CDs. He's got a brand new book we'll be talking about. We have a priest that was ordained for just days, and other exciting guests. So we thank you for tuning in to Catholic Vitamins. We're so blessed to have you with us, and we'll be back.
Welcome to this new evangelization. This is Catholic musician and speaker Justin Stroh. I grew up loving the story of King Solomon and his request of an understanding heart and distinguishing right from wrong. I remember a fire burning in my heart when I heard these scriptures, thinking to myself, here is a king who got it right. It seemed to me that all the powers of the world seemed to constantly be seeking for power, profit, and pleasure. But here was a king who asked for the greatest gift, to be able to rule wisely, understanding and distinguishing right from wrong. And because he did not ask for great power and riches, the Lord gave these other gifts to him in abundance. Now, King Solomon, unfortunately, later on in his life, fell into the worship of false gods. He fell away from his first love. You and I, though, are called to learn and to see that. What we need to do to avoid that very problem that Solomon fell into is to love the commands of God. To realize that we are yoked to his commands, that all the understanding and wisdom that we are given to spread the gospel is not ours, but simply a gift on loan to be able to give to others. We need to love his commands and make them precious to us. Through this, God gives us understanding. Why? Not because we are sophisticated, because we are simple. That's why. In our simplicity, we're able to receive the great understanding or the wisdom of God. If our hearts are proud, then we can expect the fruit of a proud heart. But if our hearts are simple, we are able to receive the great infinity of God. To hate every false way. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." And by keeping his commands, we are predestined to be conformed to his image. In being conformed to his image, we show forth his glory. His glory. And that's what we're meant to manifest. We're called. We're justified. We're glorified for the glory of God in heaven. Not for our own glory, lest we think it is by our own doing. Again, he reveals his way to the simple, not the sophisticated. We are called, we are justified, and we are glorified. This is becoming more and more the image of the Son of God, who is a great treasure. He is the kingdom that is a great treasure that we want to totally own. We'll sell all we have just to own this great treasure. And like the net that is thrown into the sea to collect every kind of fish, we are seeing that in our own day and age, that once this net is full, it will be pulled in. It will be pulled in. And you and I are going to be in that net. Of course, there's a sorting that happens after the net is pulled in, right? separated, judged by God in the end. Let us live knowing this end, so that when we proclaim the gospel, the accusations of Satan in our heart that keep us from proclaiming it can be muted, for we know that in the great mercy of God, we do not deserve what we proclaim. Yet we humbly accept it. We accept it because we know we are eternally loved as sons and daughters of an eternal Father, a glorious Father who is in heaven.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Every 3 years, the youth of the world are invited to gather with the Pope, and this summer we are gathering with Benedict XVI in Madrid. That's August of this year. I will be there. I'm looking forward to seeing you there and preparing for this great event. I invite you to go to my YouTube channel, Justin Stroh, and watch the various videos that I have posted there. One is this song you're hearing in the background called The World Over, which celebrates the great movement of World Youth Day founded by Blessed Pope John Paul II. I have also posted other videos explaining the message to young people from Benedict XVI. I invite you to go and find out more, to dig into our Catholic faith and to spread it.
Great music is from Bob Rice, musician and singer, and we'll be bringing him up on our show here in just a bit. That is from his album, You Came to Be. It's live worship from Steubenville. And next up, Teresa Doyle Nelson.
This is Teresa Doyle Nelson, author of Saints of the Bible and More Saints of the Bible. Today, for Vitamin H, I would like to share about a cluster of saints honored in the Byzantine Catholic Church, a cluster of women called the Holy Myrrh Bearers. A while back, a friend of mine shared with me how while growing up, each year on the Feast of the Holy Myrrh Bearers, her mother would bake a cake for her and give her a great name day celebration. The Feast of the Holy Myrrh Bearers? My curiosity was piqued. My friend, a Byzantine Catholic, explained that the Byzantine rite gives special honor to the women of Galilee who ministered to Christ and brought burial spices to his tomb on the first Easter morning. Susanna was one of these women, and my friend's name is Susan. I immediately felt drawn to this Byzantine tradition. Having been raised in the Roman Rite, I was not familiar with this feast. It is Luke who introduces us to these kind women in the 8th chapter of his Gospel. Then, by comparing the death, burial, and resurrection segments of all 4 Gospels, a list of holy myrrh-bearing names can be put together. Mary Magdalene, Mary of Clopas, Salome, Joanna, Susanna, and some other unnamed women. I love the idea of giving recognition to these women, and it does seem appropriate that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus get an on-the-side mentioning on the feast. I think that these people would be great patron saints for funeral directors, cemetery workers, and church bereavement committees. Their kind actions of tending to Christ following his death demonstrate a great devotion to Jesus and truth. The next time you attend a funeral, consider asking these holy myrrh bearers to say a special prayer for your departed friend and for all of the people who worked hard to prepare for and complete the honorable burial. Much peace and goodness to your day.
Thanks once again, Teresa Doyle Nelson, for another contribution to Catholic Vitamins. What an interesting concept to share. Next up, an interview with a priest, a young priest, a new priest, but from a most unusual parish, Christ the King Parish in the Ann Arbor area of Michigan, and wait till you hear this story.
Well, our next guest on Catholic Vitamins is Father Nate Harburg. He's from originally from the Ann Arbor, Michigan area, and he's now assigned to St. Michael's Parish in Port Austin, Michigan. And our subject today, Father, is hearing God's voice, whether in some sort of very intimate conversation with God or hearing God in the actions or the lives of other people around us. And when you and I sort of talked for a few moments this morning, I found out that you had come from a parish that has a story in and of itself. But why don't we start with you, your growing up years. Tell us a little bit about you and your youth.
Okay. I'm the oldest of 9 children. The last 2 were just adopted a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And my parents are both converts. My dad from atheism, my mom from Episcopalianism.
Wow.
Before that, Methodism. She was a Methodist. They both converted in the Word of God community in Ann Arbor when they were in their 20s because of very zealous evangelistic Catholics that reached out to them at the University of Michigan. And so they joined the Word of God community after their conversion, which is, at the time, it was about 3,000 members, mostly Catholic. I think about 2/3 Catholic and the rest non-Catholic Christians.
Who was behind that organization?
There's 4 founders, Ralph Marsden.
Yes.
Steve Clark, Jerry Rauch, and a 4th, I can't remember.
Okay, all right. So a large, active, and somewhat charismatic-oriented...
Well, very charismatic.
...community.
Yeah.
Prayer meetings and whatever.
Yeah, I grew up going to these prayer meetings where I saw manifestations of the Spirit, people being healed, people falling over, things like this.
Ooh.
Just that whole environment, seeing supernatural things happen. And I continued to see that at the parish when the parish was established. The parish is relatively young. I think it's only about 25 years old. It's one of 4 churches that came out, 3 Protestant and then the Catholic Church.
And Christ the King is the name of this parish?
Yes.
Okay.
Originally it was the Catholic Fellowship of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. That was the title. It's a personal parish, not territorial. So
that's kind of unusual. Maybe our listeners wouldn't know exactly what that means. Would you explain what a territorial parish is?
Yeah, most parishes in our country are territorial. There's specific boundaries, geographic boundaries, that the pastor is responsible for covering. But personal parish, there's no geographic boundaries. And it's established for a special purpose. In this case, the purpose was to provide a home for all of these Catholics that were in the Catholic Fellowship of the Word of God.
I see. Okay, all right. And there's a dramatic aspect to this parish, but before we get to that, and perhaps to your vocation, you were telling me about a youth camp that you were involved in. Could you say a few words about that?
Mm-hmm. Pine Hills Camp is an outgrowth of the Word of God community. It's an ecumenical camp that runs just 1 week a summer, per summer, and there's the boys' camp and the girls' camp each a week long. The counselors are all young adults, and it's very charismatic. There's prayer meetings throughout the camp. There's prayer throughout the whole week, of course, morning prayer, evening prayer, but then there's big prayer meetings at night. And at these prayer meetings, the Holy Spirit comes in power, and you just see kids just being filled with the Holy Spirit, you see,
wow.
Crying and people being resting in the Spirit. Often the adults that come to the prayer meetings pray over the kids, and the Holy Spirit comes to the kids through that.
Awesome, yeah. And you went through this as a participant 1 year?
Yeah, 1 year when I was going into 8th grade, and then came back and was a counselor for 2 years there.
Mm.
And it's still going strong. In fact, this week, right this very minute, there's the boys' camp, and I've been praying for my brother who's there.
Awesome.
Actually, I have 2 brothers there right now. One is a camper, and one is an assistant.
I think the interesting thing before we get into some the dramatic aspects of the parish that you were a part of and your own personal vocation is that many Catholics don't grow up in sort of this charismatic, expressive form of faith journey. And they're going to wonder what it was like. I mean, they're used to coming to Mass on a Sunday and or Saturday evening, and they're used to singing three hymns or whatever, and going to communion, and hopefully going to confession a couple times a year or at Easter or Advent or whatever. But you sound like you came in, you know, you came forth from an environment that was very, very faith, active faith oriented.
For sure.
Did it seem different to you, or was it normative?
Was this rich experience of faith normative? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah, definitely it was.
Okay.
And I did notice a big difference when I went to visit other parishes. Difference in the music and in the participation and just the general feel. Going to Mass is a lot different.
Okay, all right. Well, why don't we sort of spring the trap that I've been suggesting. Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor, an open territory parish, has about 950 families.
Yes.
Any parish that I would think of with 950 families would be so happy and so blessed if they had maybe two or three vocations to the priesthood or one or two nuns that came forth from
right.
a congregation. What could you tell us about the fruits of Christ the King Parish?
There's been a lot of fruits, and vocations is one of the most shocking. You know, the numbers of young men who go to the seminary to discern from the parish, just astounding. I don't know if every year we have a few, but when I first entered the seminary, there were about 25 men in formation for the priesthood.
From one parish?
From one parish.
25 men.
Yeah, some of the religious orders, but most of the diocesan, at different diocesan seminaries.
Awesome, awesome.
And quite a few young women as well.
I don't know if he had anything to do with this parish, but our first guest on Catholic Vitamins on our first show was Father Mark Rutherford. We were on Catholic Vitamin A for Adoration, and he had a profoundly telling experience about Adoration when he was a young man, a teen. Mm-hmm. And we were able to interview him maybe 60 hours after he was ordained, and he's been back on our show since then to check in. Do you know if he was connected with this community?
Oh, yes, he's very much a son of the Word of God community and Christ the King Parish. Just
awesome, awesome. All right, now, when did you feel or when did you sense that you might have a vocation? How long ago was that?
I don't know the exact year, but when I was probably in elementary school.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, I was very young and had this attraction to the priesthood.
Praise God. And how long have you been a priest now?
Coming up on 4 weeks this Friday.
Oh, Father Nate, God bless you. Oh, how beautiful. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's just awesome. We're really glad that you agreed to talk for a few moments to our listeners on Catholic Vitamins. And I really didn't know, I did not know that it was this new for you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for responding to God's voice in your own heart and ear. Maybe as we end this short segment, I'd say sometime I'd like to come back and visit you again and interview you more at length, but could
sure.
we ask for you to give us your blessing?
Absolutely. May the Lord bless all of the listeners and keep them. May He make His face to shine upon each one of them, be gracious to them, and give them His peace. And may the Lord Jesus give each of the listeners a deeper experience of His love. May the Holy Spirit continue to reveal who Jesus is and who the Father is in the hearts of each of the listeners. And may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. 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 We've been talking with Father Nate Harburg, who is now the assigned to St. Michael's Parish in Port Austin, Michigan. He came out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, and he was at one time a member of the Christ the King Parish, which has, by a rough count but a pretty accurate count, sponsored 25 seminarians to go in and discern the priesthood. And I think you also said that there were a number of women who have gone into religious life.
Yeah, I don't know the total number of that have actually made it to final vows, but currently there are about 10 to 15 that are discerning different orders.
From one parish. It's just awesome. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Father Nate, for agreeing to come on for a short while.
Sure.
And we'll keep you in our prayers.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
Tired legs can't bear the weight. I fall to the ground, crying out your name. And so the God who made us man took on our flesh, was born in Bethlehem. Because I could not come to thee,
Next up on Catholic Vitamins, I'm so very happy to bring you a voice and the person whom I've known from a distance of, 30 or 40 feet for a lot of years, visiting Franciscan University. Our guest now is Bob Rice. Bob, hello and welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Hey, it's great to be on, Tom.
Thank you so very much. This is round two. You and I tried this when we were together back in June. And I had a little technical glitch, so thanks be to God that we were able to sync up again, and thank you for your patience in working with me.
Glad to help.
Thank you.
And so the listeners know, the interview we had in June was perfect. It was the greatest interview you could ever hear in your life. This will probably just be a pale replica of that interview, but
right.
We'll try our best.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much for visiting Catholic Vitamins. We appreciate it. And hey, Bob, I have a few words written here. I was trying to think of everything that I think of when I think of Bob Rice, a Catholic, a real Catholic, a husband, a father, evangelizer, a musician, a singer, professor of catechetics, public speaker. He's a cook, a bottle washer.
and liturgical dancer.
Yes, yes. And you like pizza. I mean, how can anybody not like Bob Rice? Have I sort of summarized who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, you know, I mean, actually what I'm about is just doing whatever I can to share the love of God with as many people as I can. So I've been blessed with a number of just talents, and I'm thrilled that God gives me an opportunity to use all of them, you know, whether that be writing or singing or speaking or being creative or design, all those things. It's really just a blessing. So I think I do the same thing. I just do it in different ways.
Well, I'm looking at your website as you and I are talking, and it says here, Bob Rice has a passion to share the love of God, and you certainly do that. I think it's 7 years that I've been going to Franciscan University for the priest and deacon and seminarian retreat and conference, and we've been blessed to have you leading us in praise and worship each year, and each year, I think it gets better, or it moves my heart more and more. I think that's God's grace working on the holy ground of Franciscan University. How are things going for you these days?
Well, things are going great. You know, right now I'm just finishing up the summer conferences. I have one more. We're just finishing up our catechetics conference, which is kind of a fun conference for me because I wear all my hats. I speak, I teach, I play music, I'm on the catechetics faculty. So it's kind of a place where all my worlds collide. And then next weekend we'll have Defending the Faith conference, and then I'll have a little bit of vacation and get ready to to jump back into school at the end of August. So it's pretty exciting.
Well, great, great. I hope you're able to get some you time and some family time and some whatever you need before you jump back into teaching again. I want to come to your book in just a second, but
sure.
We may have some people who listen to Catholic Vitamins that have heard me say that you're a musician and singer and composer and lots of hats around that area. Tell us about some of your albums, please.
Oh, I'd love to. And actually, I'm in the studio right now working on a new one. Yeah, I've had the blessing over the past number of years to release a couple albums, sometimes of different styles. I have a live worship album called You Came to Me, and that was something we did a year or so back, just picking it right up off the conferences that we played. But a lot of what I do is original music that kind of goes from praise and worship or to more of a rock-type style. You know, a lot of my audience when I travel are youth and young adults, and so I write a lot of very upbeat, up-tempo music that tries to be introspective and portrays the faith in a culturally relevant way with kind of a culturally relevant musical style, you know, always really leading lyrically into the deeper mysteries of the Catholic faith, you know, which is so rich and so beautiful.
Well, I think what we have agreed upon when we had our get-together in June was that we were going to offer an autographed copy of one of your CDs, which we've got, and we're also going to offer just for our listeners for free your new book. But before we get into the details about how to do the book giveaway, tell us about your new book, Between the Savior and the Sea.
Yeah, Between the Savior and the Sea is a novel. It's actually taking the Gospels and writing a novel about them based on Simon Peter's point of view. I don't know, are you familiar with Louis de Waal at all, Tom?
No, I'm sorry, I'm not.
Everybody listening needs to go look up Louis de Waal. He wrote a number of amazing books about saints, and they're very historically based, but he fictionalizes the dialogue, so it really reads like a novel from beginning to end. And a lot of what I do when I speak is I bring gospel stories to life. You know, Tom, I was a theater major in college, so I'm very dramatic. And so usually after I talk, the thing that people liked most was, boy, I loved it when you talked about that gospel story and you really opened it up and you gave us a new perspective on it. And I've always thought, wouldn't it be cool if I could just write a whole novel on the gospels? And that idea had bounced around for a while until it really came around of, you know, the thing that pulled the trigger was, well, what if I do it from the perspective of St. Peter, you know, and have a novel that shows him and really the man of virtue that he is. I feel like sometimes Peter's treated a bit like a punchline. And, you know, he's kind of the guy at the pearly gates, or he's the guy that's always putting his foot in his mouth.
Right.
And whereas it's true he makes some big mistakes, he does some amazing. I mean, I don't know if I would have gotten out of the boat and walked on the water, you know. I mean, he left everything to follow Jesus. I mean, he's just incredible and inspiring. And so I wanted to have a book that really showed him as the man of virtue that he was, you know, a man specifically and uniquely called, not qualified, you know, certainly has his faults, but has his strengths as well. And that strength is a continual faith and a boldness. And the boldness got him in trouble. But a boldness to follow Christ and put everything on the line for him. So that's what I hope comes across in the novel. I hope a reader would be put really in Simon Peter's shoes and just in the life of a first century Palestine and just experience the gospel story from his perspective.
I feel like he is a great lover who lets love lead him sometimes into things like walking on water and then all of a sudden wondering, am I that much in love? On the bob-rice.com website, which I
think it's a dash.
Oh, is it a dash? Thank you.
Well, I don't know. What's the difference between a hyphen and a dash?
Yes, exactly. Well, you're the professor, so I defer to you.
Yeah, not a professor of English.
I see down below the words unsure whether he was a rock or a traitor. And there's a button that you can hit to start to listen to something. What's that about?
Oh, that's just a little video I put together that showed, you know, some of his challenges. I think Simon Peter really struggled with an identity issue of you know, who is he? And who is he in the light of Christ? I mean, I think he starts off by thinking he's got a role to play, and then he kind of messes up at that role. And really, why would Jesus need him at all? I mean, here's somebody who raises people from the dead, and he's risen from the dead, and all these things. And so I think that balance of, you know, you see the ups and downs, you know, I mean, like, you know, just as in that gospel, you know, in the story in Matthew where Jesus says, "You are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church." And just a few verses later, he's saying, "Get behind me, Satan." You know, so I'm sure, you know, this is what I try to bring about in the novel, just this conflict of who am I? You know, am I doing well? Am I doing horribly? He does great things. He puts his foot in his mouth, which I think parallels all of our own journey as well. You know, and I think that's what's so beautiful about him, you know, that tension and that challenge that we seek to get, that gets resolved into sainthood, you know, which is really the beautiful part of the story.
Amen. When you and I were together in June, I said that someday, if your schedule ever freed up, I would really love to do a full-blown guest interview on Catholic Vitamins with you. And we're honored that we could even get this time. Listeners to Catholic Vitamins, I really encourage you to seek out Bob Rice's music, his CDs, and one lucky person will win an autographed CD, which Bob gave me at the Priest Deacon Seminary and Conference when I was there. He autographed it then, and call our feedback number 206-350-3789. Or send us an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com. And we have either a CD or a book. Well, we have both, but you can win either one of those.
You can only get one, though.
Yeah, right, exactly. Bob Rice, evangelizer, musician, singer, professor, public speaker, and all-around good cook and pizza eater. We enjoyed so much our time with you. You are and have been a blessing in my faith walk, and I know you're helping many others.
Well, thank you, Tom. Blessings to you and all your listeners.
God bless. Thanks a lot, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. Hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. There's nothing else can take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're
Well, that great music we're listening to is, of course, Bob Rice from his album, You Came to Me. And if you'd like to receive an autographed copy of this album, the CD, make sure you call our feedback number, 206-350-3789, or send us an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com and just say Bob Rice CD and we'll put your name in. Or if you'd rather his new book, just tell us Bob Rice book. And we'll put your name in for that. One winner for each of those gifts, absolutely free from Catholic Vitamins. Next up, our dear friend, Denise, who is saying goodbye for now after she does this Catholic Vitamin H for hearing. And we're so grateful to have had her for a while on Catholic Vitamins. We think she'll be back after a while. Here's Denise, and then we've got lots much more to share with you on this Catholic Vitamin H for Hearing podcast.
Hi, this is Denise Bossard with a message on Vitamin H from Catholic by Grace. Many years ago, when my husband and I were dating, One of my favorite things to do was to log on to America Online and hear those familiar words, "You've got mail." Christ says something very much like that throughout the Gospels. He had a message for anyone who would listen. "Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today." "Woman at the well, let's have a chat." "Martha, Martha, Martha, come here a minute, let's talk about this." "Woman, why are you crying?" "Quiet now, I have something to tell you." While Jesus Christ doesn't physically walk up to people today and say, "There's something I want to tell you," he does still talk to us. I found a message just waiting for me while driving the car, sitting beside my dying grandmother, kneeling in prayer in the Adoration Chapel, or kneeling beside my bed crying in the dead of night. He answered back through another person's words, through my husband, my priest, my parent, my child. He's lifted my spirits through a song, a prayer, a sunrise. He's touched me through another's hug, another's tears, another's letter. He stopped me in my tracks while reading a saint's book and whispered to me that the author's holiness was born in the embrace of the Catholic Church. And then he whispered softer still and said, "Don't you want this kind of holiness? Then come on home." And I dropped everything at his call and claimed his 2,000-year-old church as my own. And that's what it's like when the Lord delivers his mail. Things I would never do, I have done. Places I would never go, I have gone. Words I would never have said, I now say, all because he still speaks, and life is never the same again. There is mail every time I log on, and the words are always life-giving and life-changing. Listen, do you hear that? You've got mail.
Well, our guest now on Catholic Vitamins is Deacon Gil Salinas from Valley Center, California. Did I say your last name correct?
Salinas.
Salinas, yeah. Well, our topic for today, our vitamin for today is Catholic Vitamin H for hearing. And we're looking for stories about how people are hearing God's voice or hearing God's direction in their lives. And I'm also here with Tom Risotto, also from Valley Center, California. They're both members of St. Stephen's Parish. And I welcome both of you guys to our program, Catholic Vitamins. So, Gil, let's get started with you. I heard a little bit of your story yesterday and wonder if you can tell people what it was like a little bit before you became a deacon or before God's word opened up in your life.
Well, I could start with in the very beginning of my youth. I was not a very good Catholic. I didn't go to church too much because my parents didn't either. And when I started growing up, I knew that something was touching me because I was always a kind of a good kid. Never got into trouble. Liked sports and all that. But when I was drafted, my grandmother from Mexico sent me a medallion of the Blessed Virgin Virgin Guadalupe, which I didn't even know. That's how much of a Catholic I was at that time.
Oh.
But when I went to Vietnam, we had the first 6 months was pretty rough. A lot of firefights and all that. But this one particular time after 6 months, we were sent on a recon. And I sensed something was going to happen. I heard a voice of a woman tell me to take the point. And I'm asking, why am I taking the point? I'm the sergeant in charge. I should be telling the rest of the five men to go the left to the right, the front, and I will come in at the end. But she said, take the point. So I took the point. And as I took the point, I went up about a couple hundred yards, and I turned around and made the signal for the other five to come in. And as they were coming in, a sniper shot me in the stomach, and I went down, and then they opened up with automatics and mortar rounds and killed the other five behind me.
Oh, my.
And when I was laying on the rice paddies and seeing the tracer rounds going over my head and the mortar rounds exploding and everything, I turned and I looked, and my blessed mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, was kneeling next to me, mm-hmm. stroking me like a little child, and said, you're going to be fine. Don't move. Play dead. So I just laid and just felt her hand, and knew that I was going to be fine just by having her next to me. Well, when that was over and they picked me up with the helicopter and they hauled me off, when the Japan got patched up, came back and asked the mother, says that if I got hit again, I didn't want to go home half a body. Well, I never fired my weapon again in my for the last 6 months that I was there. Came home, got out of the service, and lived the life, normal life, got married, had a chaos with my first marriage, got divorced, was kind of violent, ended up in jail a couple times punching people out, and met my second wife. I'll go back a little bit. When I went to Mexico City to pay they call it a manda, which is a debt to the Blessed Virgin Mary in Mexico City. And I got on my knees and I asked her to forgive me for my chaos in my life, and that I needed to come back to the church, meet another young, or not young, but a woman that I could marry and have the same love for the church, and just to come back to the church. And she introduced me to my wife. I just felt that that's the one that we were going to be together from then on. And we started going to church, but I still had that violence. And I went to, I'll go back, I went to, actually I was ill. And I had, was going to have bypass surgery. And one Sunday we went to church, and my wife had told the father to put me in the petitions of the people that are ill. Well, he put me in the petitions that I had passed away.
Oh, my.
And I was really fearful of what was going to happen, thinking that I was going to die. And I went to a healing service, which I didn't really believe at that time. And I was the last one there to be touched by a deacon. And the most I saw was his hand raised over my head. And I was slain by the Holy Spirit, fell on the ground. And my blessed mother was there again, telling me that I was going to be fine.
Wow.
So I got up after about half an hour, and 6 hours later, went to surgery, and I was fine. Came out, so I got stronger in my faith. And we went to Jerusalem to thank the Lord over there, Blessed Mother. And 2-3 priests had approached me to go to, if I'm going to be a deacon. I said, no, I've been divorced. I've killed people in the war. I'm not a very good person. Why would you want me as a deacon? So after 3 times, I realized, well, maybe it's a sign. So I asked the Lord, I said, when I get back home from Jerusalem with my luggage, open the door of my house, if the phone rings and it's a priest, I know it's from you. And that's exactly what happened.
My.
A priest called me up at that time, and I ran in to answer the phone. I had forgotten about it, and it was Father Bill from Valley Center that asked me if I wanted to go into the diaconate. And that's when I got more and more involved in the Holy Spirit. That's all I cared about, is to learn more about it. And when I was ordained, there was 5 of us. And I remember the bishop putting his hands on my head.
So do I.
And I was just filled with a lot of fire on my body. I just felt like I was just being on fire. And then after I was ordained, I asked the other five, did you feel what I felt? And no, they didn't feel that. So I'm just picking up everything that there's a plan for me. There was a plan for me to be a deacon, but I didn't know how the Lord was going to use me. So I go to Valley Center, and we have a big Hispanic community. And I realized that the Hispanic community, by speaking to them, by counseling them, I realized that he needed me right there. And I noticed that since we only have one priest, it's kind of hard for him to go out into the houses or blessing fields or whatever. So I had an urge to do that. So I went out and blessed fields, said rosaries on houses where people were ill. And I saw a lot of movement of the Holy Spirit healing the Hispanics. And I needed somebody else to be with me to see that I wasn't just doing this as that it was all in my mind. So I brought a friend of mine, which he's a lay person, and he's an American. He's not Hispanic. He doesn't know one word of Spanish, maybe a little bit. And he saw everything that was going on in these homes, the healing power that Christ comes into these homes and heal the Hispanics, the poor and the needy, and then the young and the old. And it's amazing how he's working with all of us. And it's just not just the deacons. It's the lay people that really have faith and trust in the Lord and open up to the graces of Christ and our Blessed Mother that they use us to heal people.
We've been listening to Deacon Gil Salinas from Valley Center, California. And our vitamin for today that we're listening for is hearing. We've heard a story of the Blessed Virgin Mary on the battlefield with Gil and speaking to him, consoling him when he'd been shot. And how long have you been a deacon now?
6 years.
6 years. Praise God. I'm so glad that you said yes. And we're sitting here with Tom Risotto, who heard you say yesterday that you are a DA.
Yes.
What is a DA?
That is my deacon's assistant.
You're a deacon's assistant. Ah. So you've been working with Gil, have you?
Absolutely. Last year, Deacon invited me to come to Steubenville, the Franciscan conference for priests and deacons, and because of his injuries in the war, he needed someone to drive and help him out. So I feel fortunate that he asked me. I'm not sure what he saw. I think his vision is impaired as well. But since then, I have been at his side. The conference last year was about priests and deacons being in short supply, therefore the need to wake up the lay people and get them to evangelize and step forward. So I heard that loud and clear. It only helped me even more to assist my deacon. When he invites me to assist in quinceañeras, baptisms, weddings, convalidations, that's all fine at the church. I stand at his side like an altar boy. And that is my part. I will assist in getting oils and holy water and lighting candles. But we pray so hard together, it's exhausting. Mm. Deacon Gil and I have connected through the power of prayer. People that we pray over, they're like putty when we're finished. Mm. The power of prayer is so strong. Then he's invited me out to the community where we'll go to homes and there'll be prayer meetings or there'll be blessings or for whatever reason we're called out. And at first we're called out mainly to the Hispanic community, and when they see me show up, they go, wait a minute now, I don't think he's invited here. And Deacon has to calm them down. But by the time the evening is over, I'm embraced by every one of them with tender love. So God's work is working. His work is for us to bring people to recognize the Holy Spirit, to feel His love, and to evangelize, to wake more people up, to get ready for this war that we're in.
We've been visiting with Deacon Gil Salinas and Tom Risotto, his deacon assistant, as he calls himself, a DA for Valley Center, California. And, you know, we're all, God is speaking to each of us. We all are in a place and need and time of need for hearing God's voice in our lives. And here we've heard Gil tell us about being on the battlefield, being shot, and the Blessed Virgin Mary being a voice in his life. And then Gil leading Tom to Franciscan University, where both of them have heard God's word speaking to them. And they're now out and evangelizing, it sounds like, in the fields and in homes and at parties, quinceañeras, and whatever. Any other closing words on the voice of God in your life?
Just trust in the Lord. He's there with us always. He loves us, and he's so merciful that he will heal us as his servants. And when he uses us, he touches others through us.
Thanks be to God. Deacon Gil Salinas and Tom Risotto, we thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins.
Thanks for having me.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom.
More music from Franciscan University and the Bob Rice CD, You Came to Me. That was a really fascinating interview with Deacon Gil Salinas and his associate, the DA, Tom. Well, I have one more interview from Franciscan University, and I want to tell you that a priest friend, a good close priest friend, said that he had a former student who had come to Franciscan University. The priest taught and still teaches in high school back in Ohio, and he told me about a young lady, Maria Mitchell, who had come to Franciscan University. She had graduated, and she was now hired by Franciscan for a summer of work. And he said that he thought she would be a great interview. I'd like you to listen in and see what you think. Well, I'm with a new guest on Catholic Vitamins. Her name is Maria Mitchell, and we're at Franciscan University, where we've been recording some mini interviews, asking people how they're hearing God in their life, hearing, you know, some guidance or some help, some direction. Maria, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Where are you from?
I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
All right. And you've just graduated. We'll come to that in a moment. But why don't you back up and tell us about you when Maria was a toddler?
Sure. Well, I'm a cradle Catholic. I'm come from a family of seven. I've got two older brothers and two older sisters. My oldest brother, Father Peter, is a priest in the Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Praise God.
Yes. My other brother is a seminarian studying in Rome, who will be a priest for the Diocese of Milwaukee, where we're from. And then I have two sisters, both which teach at a school that my parents founded, and that's kind of become the family business. They run a K-5 to 12 college prep school called Trinity Academy in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
I know a Father Don from...
Father Don Schmidt, yep. So he taught me since seventh grade. He was my religion teacher, and so it's great to be able to see him here at the conference.
I think you just interviewed him today, didn't you?
I did, yes. So that was great because he's a veteran to this conference, so we thought he would have some words of wisdom.
Well, I don't want to spill the beans, so we've kind of covered that you were raised in a traditional, maybe a very healthy Catholic family mm-hmm. in terms of the faith, and a brother who is a priest and a brother on the way to mm-hmm. becoming a priest, and then two sisters. Mm-hmm. Well, great. Where did you fall in the pecking order? Where are you?
I'm the baby.
You don't look like the baby.
Yep, I'm the last one.
Oh, how neat. Well, I'm sure your parents are really, really proud of you. God's voice been active in your life?
Yes, absolutely. I would say most clearly through John Paul II. Throughout my youth, I've had the privilege to travel to Rome about, I think it's 13 times now.
Oh, my heavens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just on pilgrimages with my family and the school that they run. And so twice during the course of those 12 years, I was able to personally meet John Paul II.
Really?
Which was just outstanding, such a amazing blessing that I draw on more each and every day since then. And also I was able to be at his death. It was just complete coincidence that our pilgrimage coincided with his death. And so there I was praying in the square for him as he died. And I think just his example, when he said to the youth as he was dying, "I looked for you and you have come to me, and I thank
beautiful?
You." It was gorgeous, and it was so, he had the gift of being able to make you feel like he was speaking directly to you.
Yeah.
And so when I was there in square after being there so many times and having met him personally, I just really felt he was speaking to me. And just his witness and his example, his faith in the youth in a time when there just isn't a lot expected of youth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really, people don't really think that the youth can do very many things. They just think they're good for nothing. They don't work. They're lazy. But we want to be challenged. Mm-hmm. And so he really challenged us.
He really did.
That's why he was so respected by the youth. Mm-hmm. And, just his example, especially just that he lived such a well-balanced life. I mean, he was a skier and a swimmer and,
mm-hmm.
At the same time, his faith obviously was a major part of his life, and he spoke to and resonated with all different kinds of people, every nationality, every different kind of way of life, wherever you were on your path. And so I just admire him so greatly, and because of his faith in the youth, I've made it kind of a personal goal to try to become the youth that John Paul II believed in, to have the well-balanced life and to really encourage others. Father Mike was talking about during this conference the ministry of encouragement, and I think that's also one of the ministries John Paul II really stressed in his pontificate.
How beautiful. My wife and I, listeners to Catholic Vitamins have heard this before, but my wife and I were able to go with another deacon couple to Italy,
mm-hmm.
and this was 2004 in October.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to see Holy Father up close. We didn't get to meet him personally, but we were very close.
Okay.
He was quite ill, very weak. But as I've told listeners before, when people started singing to him, this was a large general audience, when people started singing to him in different languages, he became so animated,
mm-hmm.
so alive, and
mm-hmm.
it was like it really revived him. And it made me very tender in my heart,
right.
Just so tender. Well, just describe one of your meetings. Were you able to go up and kneel in front of him? And
yes. One of the meetings was with our family. My brother, who's now a priest, Father Peter, was studying in Rome at the time. And it's tradition that when your family comes to visit you in Rome, that you're introduced to the Holy Father. So we got this call early in the morning that told us that we needed to be at the bronze doors right away.
Oh.
So we got dressed in our best clothes, and we went down to the bronze doors and went through a series of hallways throughout the papal palace, these magnificent frescoes everywhere, and Swiss guards in tails. The ushers were in tails, and the Swiss guards saluted us because my
mm-hmm.
brother was a priest, and
right.
it's their duty to salute a priest. So it was very impressive. And then we knelt in front of the Holy Father as a family when we finally got to his library. And it was really a moment for my brother, Father Peter. And he just said, "Holy Father, I was there in Denver when you called us young men to not be afraid and to become priests for the new millennium.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to show you that I'm here And I listened to your call, and I want to show you that I've become a priest now.
That's beautiful.
For you. Oh. Yeah, and the Holy Father said, Denver, very good. Oh. And while well, I get through the sign of the cross on my brother's forehead. So that was definitely a very special moment. And then he gave me a rosary and looked me in the eyes very firmly and said, I was kneeling next to my sister, and we look very similar, and we're she's much older than me, but he said, you are littler, and as in littler, and to me, even though he just meant that I was younger than my sister, I've taken it since those are the choice words said to me by a great saint of the 20th century, to mean always remain little, and I've really kind of pulled that out from it, upon meditating upon it further.
All right, well, keeping our eye on the clock, I'm anxious to hear about Franciscan University. What did you study here, and how was it for you?
Yes, I studied, just graduated with a degree in journalism and a minor in British and American literature. And I absolutely loved my time here. Every single day, I was completely grateful for each day here, because you just wake up and the people here are just so joyful. And to be in such an environment where your faith is being fostered while you're also getting challenging academics is an incredible gift, and I've been very grateful to be here.
I heard one of the grad students say that she did not want to come to a four-year retreat. She wanted something challenging, and she said, I got it.
Yeah, that's very true.
But it was also a very holy environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
true.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Just wonderful.
It's a good balance.
Then kind of the final good news, what did they tap you for? What are you doing now?
Sure. Well, in the fall, I have plans, well, for in August, to work in the communications office in Madrid for World Youth Day. So they've asked me to come aboard and help, so I'm very excited for that opportunity.
Yeah,
so I'll live in Madrid for the month of August. And then from there, my plans are to attend the Pontifical University of Santa Croce in Rome, where I'll get a licentiate in church communications. So it'll teach me how to use the media to evangelize effectively.
Well, it does seem to me, just looking at the radiant smile that you have and the happiness that's inside of you, that God has been speaking to you and that you're following his call. Maria Mitchell from, did you say Minnesota?
No, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It was a joy to spend a couple minutes learning about you and your path and your yes to the Lord God. And we wish you the best. We'll pray for you, and I ask you prayers for us as well.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
God bless for coming on.
Thank you.
Came up to the kitchen where you were cooking. Wait a minute, who am I talking to?
Oh, you spoiled it. I was going to come in and announce to the whole world.
Okay, tell us
that
what.
I was in the kitchen cooking.
Yes, you were. I came out to you. What did I say? I said that I was so very pleased with the people that we had on this week's show.
That's right.
Oh, Maria Mitchell, a absolute sweet young woman. I wish you could see her smile, just radiant. We're going to put her picture on our iTunes page for this show.
You get some neat interviews when you were at Franciscan.
Oh, it was just wonderful. And Bob Rice and Deacon Gil Salinas and Father Nate Harburg, thank you so very much, all of you. And I'll be trying to reach out to you to let you know that this show has posted. And let me see.
Oh, you were going to say something about Mary Lou's books.
Oh, Mary Lou Rosine's Catholic Boot Camp Books. She was our guest on the show last week, and she has given us 3 autographed copies of her wonderful book. And if you'd like a restart on your faith walk in your family, this Catholic Boot Camp is a wonderful little book and 30 days to a new faith walk in your family, as I said.
And then we had a feedback from somebody associated with Rosine.
Well, I hope I pronounce his name right. This was the first podcast this 76-year-old man ever listened to. I have known Mary Lou Rosine since she was a baby. Her mom has been a close friend to my wife and me over the years, and she let us know of Mary's new book, which I immediately ordered. I was not disappointed. Hearing Mary Lou and learning more of her life was a thrill. I hope she has enjoyed my books as much as I've enjoyed hers. Thanks, Bill Jeffrey. Excuse my voice. Bill Jeffrey.
We're going to have to figure out what his books are all about.
Well, he has some books for children, and I should know before I did this. But at any rate, thank you, Bill, for that email. And
we had one quickie from Sarah Reinhardt.
Oh, yes.
She said, a smile in my mailbox, a Catholic Vitamins t-shirt. Guess what I'm wearing tomorrow.
All right. I bet you look pretty in that blue t-shirt for Catholic Vitamins.
And I saw on our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page that you are welcoming a new person who joined in on our page, Michelle Sawyer.
Glad to have you with us. And if you are not a friend of Catholic Vitamins, please go to Facebook and find us and sign up. We'd love to welcome you. And sometimes they get quick advance notice of little giveaways and things like that.
And a while back, we were giving away a couple of Don Marie Roeder's books, It Doesn't End Here.
Right.
And Linda White was one of those winners. And she said, thanks. The lovely book arrived yesterday.
Blessings. Okay. So if you'd like a copy of the Catholic Family Bootcamp book, send us an email or call our feedback number. I've already given that out a couple times. And let us know that you'd like that. We're going to be doing this for another couple weeks, I think. And then today we're adding the CD from Bob Rice, wonderful Bob Rice. I teased him a little bit, but he's such a great humorist as well as a great speaker for the Lord. The CD is called You Came to Me, and his new book, a fiction work translating the Gospels into what it would be like if you were Peter and you were trying to live as the first pope and walking alongside of Jesus. A great idea.
I heard you playing one of his praise and worship songs earlier, and it was one that I was familiar with, and it immediately took my mind back to visualizing 300, 400 women at the YMCA of the Rockies in Estes Park at a women's conference I attended. Actually, mm-hmm. I attended it several times.
Yeah. Speaking of that, the YMCA of the Rockies, when I was a deacon up in Estes Park, I was called in to do an adoration evening, like an hour of adoration for young people. And I had no idea what I was walking into. It was a large auditorium full of young people.
Confirmation retreat, wasn't it?
I guess that's right. Yeah, I think it was. But not for just like one church, but for many, many churches. And Bob Rice was there and leading the praise and worship music for them. And it was just beautiful. So that's one of the ways that I got to know him outside of Franciscan University.
Okay, before we leave.
Yep.
We got to announce Vita Scrabble for next time. Vitamin okay. I.
Yes.
Ends in M. 8 letters.
All right. Once again, if you're new to Catholic Vitamins, we give you a tease each week about the upcoming vitamin. And D has just said that the next vitamin, I, has 8 letters and it ends in M. So take a guess and then call us or send an email to us and we will be happy to put your name in a basket. Do we have any potential winners for this show?
We do.
All right. All right, I'm reaching in. Let me get in there and opening up one of your little slips of paper. Greg Gorman from Kentucky. He guessed healing.
Hearing.
I mean, yeah, healing. Gosh.
Boing.
Well,
we're going to have to get a gong.
Did he do a lot of guesses or was it just one? No, I guess he just did.
Yeah, we did. Remember, I read this at the beginning.
Well, I know, but I mean,
he said hearing was his one real guess.
All right. So those of you that do 8 or 9 guesses, we're only going to take one. So let us know what you think about vitamin I. All right, I think we're about ready to wrap.
It's been a long one.
It has been a long show. We hope you enjoyed it. And I'm going to tell you that next week, we'll have a special guest. Just keep coming back to Catholic Vitamins.
They're all special.
They are. Blessings.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
Who was
was and who is to come. Who was and who is to come. Who was and who is to come. Who was and who is to come. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword. And we are the voice in the desert, crying, preparing the way.
Yeah.